This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. On today's show, the theme is social justice activism, with MLK Day just around the corner on Monday. Coming up, Gordon Evans interviews Western Michigan University professor Alan Webb about the planned teach-in on issues of justice, civil rights, and climate. But first, I preview how Kalamazoo area organizations and the Kalamazoo Community Foundation are banding together to participate in the first ever National Day of Healing. They'll host a showing of the documentary American Divided on January 17th, followed by a discussion. Local representatives attended a summit that the Battle Creek-based W.K. Kellogg Foundation held in December to kick off the Kalamazoo Foundation's Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Long-Term Initiative. Attendees were charged with hosting events in their communities on a singular National Day of Healing. The Kalamazoo event is called Stories That Unite Us, and I talked to two of the organizers. Let's start off with you all introducing yourself.
Sure. My name is Lana Lewis, and I am a community investment manager at the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, and I have been involved with this initiative from my foundation's point of view as kind of the lead contact.
And my name is Jacob Johnson, a lifetime Kalamazoo resident. Here on behalf of SHARE, Society for History and Racial Equity, also representing ERACE, Eliminating Racism, Claiming and Celebrating Equity, and glad to be here.
And you serve as the coordinator of marketing and outreach for SHARE.
Correct.
Ms. Lewis, give us an overview of the initiative Stories That Unite Us.
Yeah, sure. So Stories Unite Us is really a one-day event that we're hosting here in Kalamazoo. The Community Foundation, SHARE, ERACE, along with the Fair Housing Center, the Black Arts and Cultural Center, the ARCA Center at Kalamazoo College. And we're really looking at collaboration for the initiative of Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. So this day, this January 17th, is a National Day of Healing, and that was called for by the Kellogg Foundation as kind of a starting point for the Truth, Racial, Healing, Transformation Initiative. So this is really supposed to be a springboard to get the conversation started, to get us started on the work of healing and kind of dealing with some of the problems that have been really ingrained within our society since the inception.
The Kellogg Foundation. It's based here in Battle Creek, but it is actually one of the largest foundations around. I think it ranks number 6. The Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Initiative launched last year, and in December, they held, meaning the Kellogg Foundation, held a summit in California, my understanding. Ms. Lewis, you attended, as well as Mr. Penny Johnson, you attended as well, and other of your partners with this local initiative, Stories That Unite Us. Tell us about that summit.
Yeah, so I was invited to the Truth and Racial Healing Transformation Summit by Ms. Lewis and the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. And it was really a call to action by the Kellogg Foundation, who had, like you said, started this initiative. And they pulled together over 130 organizations who are working on racial equity currently on a pretty big national scale, and around 500 individuals, including us from Kalamazoo, attended the summit.
And there was about four or five of you all?
Correct, from Kalamazoo, yes. And others from the state as well, so a few folks from Battle Creek, Detroit, and a few other places. And for me, it was a great experience. It had a real focus on racial healing, which is very much tied to the work of SHARE, Society for History and Racial Equity. We host racial healing retreats. But for me, it was great to see the approach that the Kellogg Foundation has put together to address this issue of race and racism in America is great. I feel like it was very thorough. So again, this big focus on racial healing and narrative change, but also looking at different sectors. So looking at the economy, looking at the criminal justice system, looking at education, and really looking thoroughly on how, on a national level, we can build a blueprint to address this, and then also charging folks to come back to local communities and really put together a plan collaboratively on how to really take this work to the next level.
Speaking of taking this work to the next level, Ms. Lewis, it was actually as a result of local officials, including yourself, attending that summit that inspired you to do the event here. Could you tell us a little bit specifically what's going to happen and what people will experience when they come out on January 17th?
Sure. So, yes, definitely one of the first calls to action, like Jacob mentioned, was to put on an event. This National Day of Healing really came organically from the summit. So people were talking about, you know, we have this inauguration coming up, extremely divisive election with a lot of rhetoric around exactly the issues we're talking about. And so they really felt like it was necessary at this summit that we need to do something now. We need to start somewhere and start soon. The urgency was pressing. And so they called all of us that were there to go ahead and put on an event in coordination with this Day of Healing so that we can all kind of get started and get grounded before the inauguration and after King Day. They felt that that was a really important time for everyone. And so what to expect? We really, you know, the partners that we went with were really excited. And I don't think I mentioned Isaac before, but Isaac was also represented as a partner from Kalamazoo. They're really excited, and we were all really excited about the opportunity to do this. And we decided really quickly that this documentary series, America Divided, that was also funded by the Kellogg Foundation and we saw at the summit, which was a piece of it, was a really great way to start with truth, right? So it really is a series about narratives and about people's experience with discrimination and the issues that are really pressing and central to the Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation initiative. So what we're going to do is kind of show some clips of it. It's a really long series, and it's actually accessible. The production company, Epix, is really making it accessible, so folks can go and watch the whole series if they want for free, I believe. But we're going to show some excerpts, and we're going to have it be more interactive than just a normal film viewing. So it's going to be a more of a film festival format where people can watch a little piece of this topic, then go to the next room and watch a little piece, another topic. And because our partners are engaged in that work locally, the work that is the topic of the film, they're going to be talking a little bit in the rooms, going deeper in the issues, doing some reflection, talk about how that folks can be involved here locally, and really have it be a place where people can start conversations. And then we're going to probably host some healing circles. The partners all are interested in hosting healing circles after this, but we really want to start with the narratives and the truth around some of these policies. So we're really excited about that. I mean, education, as Jacob mentioned, narrative change, healing, but also an important piece to this Truth, Racial Healing, Transformation (TRHT) initiative is segregation and legal aspects of that, and the economy. So really thinking in a really concrete way of how to, at those specific points, address systemic racism. So, you know, there's the narrative part, there's the culture shift, the interpersonal piece and personal piece about people's values around what they're calling a hierarchy of human value. But we really, not only that, it's not only just what you think, it's also about what the policies are, right? So it's not, it goes from, you know, this whole, well, it's not my fault, this guilt narrative, it tries to really move away from that in a transformative way that we can really transform our institutions and really come away from kind of that personal guilt that people feel around race and racism that kind of is sometimes a roadblock.
Can you educate us about what is a healing circle? What does that look like?
Sure. Yeah. A healing circle really is grounded in kind of traditional non-Western cultures of how folks would come together as a community to either resolve a conflict or to build relationships. And so really what it is a way of facilitating a group process where we're in a circle and it's really non-hierarchical and really offers an opportunity for people to engage with each other, tell personal stories and connect and be vulnerable and open. And oftentimes it really reveals, and I'm actually been trained on this, and on the circle process, it actually really reveals an opportunity to create a system where folks can be accountable to each other based on our own relationships and value as a community rather than the way that the criminal justice system works now or the retributive justice piece.
So when you think of healing circles, just so that I'm clear, are you looking for everyday citizens to become part of these healing circles, or are you talking about more? I know you're talking about institutional racism and so on and things like that. Are you looking at it at a more institutional level, like representatives from institutions participating in a healing circle? What does that mean? They meet on an ongoing basis? Or are you looking for everyday citizens to be involved with this healing circle?
Both. In fact, the healing circles have been used for both. So SHARE, again, hosts racial healing retreats. And part of our hopes is that we will have a couple more dates for racial healing retreats that we can invite all community members to. But definitely, you know, the healing circles and healing retreats have and can be also used to quell conflicts, if that's the right word. So looking at police and young youth of color's current tension. In Los Angeles, I believe in Oakland, this model was used with the police and young youth of color to try to address some of the tension among police and young youth of color, like I said, and getting together in building on a human level and really hearing each other's stories, like Lana said, being vulnerable. And they found that through that, some of the tension has been eased when folks can sit down in a room together, look at each other, hear each other's stories.
So it's a way of communicating when having dialogue is really what it is, rather than kind of, I thought perhaps maybe it was like a small group type thing, like you're assigned to a group and you meet with your small group all the time.
No, not so much.
I'm understanding. Back to the actual day of the event and the film that is going to be shown. My understanding is there's a lot of well-known people who are actually interviewing different individuals as part of this film. For example, the comedian Amy Poehler, I see, and Common, the rapper Common, and any number of faces that I think people might recognize. Are they interviewing everyday people or individuals who are scholars or working in this, doing this work?
Yeah, a little bit of both, actually. So each of the celebrity correspondents were kind of assigned to a story that was close to their own personal experience. For example, Common's interviewing young people and police in Chicago. So they're kind of coming at it from both perspectives. And it's really interesting because really what they're asking is just critical questions and from both sides. So they really wanted to hone in, though, on one specific localized issue or one specific case. And really use that as a platform to really show the human side of what some of these issues look like.
And also hearing from folks from the opposing side, so to speak. So hearing from conservative or Republican governors about their thoughts on immigration, who might not agree with liberals or Democrats' thoughts. But hearing those, a lot of times we don't even invite or listen to those opposing stories or narratives. So the stories that unite us, I think, is also just hearing and listening to other viewpoints and opinions also.
How did you all come up with the name for Stories That Unite Us for this particular event?
Sure, yeah. It's actually the subtitle of the film.
Oh, okay.
And because we're not presenting the film series, it's actually a series. There's five episodes with eight different storylines. Because we're not showing the thing in its entirety, and because we're highlighting it and then having some interaction, we really wanted to encourage people to reflect. So we're going to have some space and some paper for people to write things down, to interact. So we really wanted to make it not just about the film, but what we can do as a community together, and having it be a springboard. So all of the partners are going to bring opportunities. Jacob mentioned a few other orgs have other opportunities to engage after this in the work. And so we really wanted to make it more about us as a community and less about the film. And I think the film just highlights these stories so that we can have something to really
It gives you something to kind of talk about and reflect about.
Mm-hmm.
You also at this event are going to be sharing the background of that Truth, Racial, Healing, and Transformation process initiative. You're going to be talking about it, but you're also going to be talking about some of the recommendations that came out of that summit. What are some of the major ones? Is there some that you can talk about?
Yeah, so and that information is out to the public now. So definitely encourage folks to check out the Kellogg Foundation's website, and you could Google Truth and Racial Healing Transformation, and you should be able to get the layout. But we will, yeah, be given a brief background of the initiative, or actually enterprise. So they've named it an enterprise and not an initiative.
With they're calling it enterprise.
With the thought of it being a long term. So an initiative is kind of a short term thing, but the enterprise is the thought of it being a long term. And all of the folks who attended the summit went on behalf of different sectors. So myself, coming from SHARE, dealing with history and healing, will give a little background of that aspect of the initiative. Other folks will give a little bit of breakdown of the separation in law and some of the outcomes or recommendations are.
Yeah, so, and actually, it's really, really a lot. Something that's really exciting to me is this narrative change, and you in the media, I'm sure that you can relate and might be interested in this area, but I think it's something that, especially with this past election, we really need to be conscious of, right? So narratives in the media, the especially news media, and even in the entertainment industry, how many people really develop their beliefs based on what they see in movies and on TV and from celebrities and also what they see on the news and how much that shapes what's happening and shapes people's opinions, and it may be accurate, it may not. And so really thinking about narrative change, how to lift up voices. So particularly one kind of recommendation is really lifting up voices of community members. Oftentimes in the news media, we go to the institutional representatives to get the story, and you never really hear the side of the story of the resident or, you know, and the community member that is being discussed, right? And so that's one of the most interesting things that I think that would really impact a lot of other things. It has a huge ripple effect. And when we're talking about narrative change and we're talking about healing and coming together, without having those stories be uplifted and having both sides or the multitude of sides, right, being told, the multitude of sides of the story being told, we really get these narrow, simplistic narratives, and it really shapes people's beliefs. So that is really exciting to me in what this initiative can do, and this, like you said, enterprise can do. And something that I don't think is, you know, we talk a lot about housing. I mean, it's something that feels fresh, right? It's something that feels like it's not paid enough attention to at this point. Whereas the other issues of, you know, housing, colonization, they focused a lot on colonization, especially around indigenous folks and around tribal reservations. And those dynamics were a big part of it, too, when we're talking about segregation and separation, not just what we think of as the inner city, right? Not, you know, that type of housing segregation. But those are issues that I feel, of course, need a lot of work. But, the exciting and kind of new thing is how these things fit together and how narrative change can really impact the other sectors as well.
It seems like you were getting ready to say something, Mr. Penny Johnson.
Yes. We're just thinking about the recommendations for the Truth and Reconciliation Transformation Enterprise. It's really this idea of looking into the future in this term, like jettisoning the belief of racial hierarchy. So really charging the nation and folks on a local level to really think and imagine, what does our nation, what do our local communities look like without this belief in a racial hierarchy, which our nation was birthed in and conceived in. And seeing that as a holistic job and thinking that we have to, you know, hit it on multiple fronts.
Oh, another one of your partners is the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. Just wanted to make sure to mention them as being among your partners. Can you speak a little bit more about, you talked about addressing segregation and addressing colonization. And when you're speaking of colonization, are you speaking mainly domestically and with just kind of indigenous people, or does that mean something else?
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I knew I was missing somebody. But yeah, I think that what they're talking about is broad, but I think that they had a huge focus on really starting like what Jacob is talking about, starting at the beginning. And I think for us here in the States, we really have to be more conscious of those issues and how much that is a part of, you know, the fabric of our society, the genocide and the stealing of land and the consistent, even we see to this day with Standing Rock, colonization happening where, you know, folks whose rights are supposed to be protected are being overstepped by companies along with the government. And so we really have to be aware and conscious of the land that we're standing on, you know. And so that was a big focus of it. But I think we can think about it broadly. We can think about Puerto Rico, too.
U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think they use the term separation to talk about colonization, segregation, here locally, domestically in our cities, and kind of also economic kind of imperialism that happens with the U.S. government and institutions. So they use it really broadly. But I think but they also have called us. So when they call us to do work on the local level, we think about what's here. And so we know that, you know, with the Treaty of Chicago and the removal of indigenous peoples from this area in the early, let's say, 1830s, mm-hmm. I think 1830, between 1830 and 1840, and the forming of all of our institutions just right, like couple years after that. So I think they really are calling folks to ground themselves in whatever's happening local and really, and I think that's powerful to really think about the local level. And so it's both institutional and personal, interpersonal, right? So the personal, interpersonal piece is, you know, we can have as many policies as we want today, we can write them, but if we don't address people's belief systems, we're just gonna keep fighting the same battles, right? So, but if we just only address people's belief system and don't address the systemic institutional issues, then everybody's gonna think they're all happy and good and we're gonna have the same result kind of structurally. So really addressing both ends of it, I think, but grounding ourselves in what's here locally. And I think particularly right now, they felt at the summit, it was really relevant to uplift that piece of indigenous folks, First Americans.
Who do you hope will come out to this particular event? What do you hope that they will get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, any and everyone. I think we're definitely looking to have different stakeholders in the community from some of these different sectors in terms of education, law, local government, and really just average folks. So we're hoping everyone will be called to action. I mean, I think we all can see the polarization of our current time in the nation. And I think we all have a general understanding of the history of this tension of race and racism. So we're hoping and calling that everyone who feels to come. So not, you know, we're not excluding anyone.
Even those who just may be curious and actually might not even perhaps even support the idea of racial healing, do you think perhaps you invite those people to come and hope maybe that they'll be transformed in some way?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do right now also is try to really engage and be open and really have these conversations with folks. And, you know, the way we formatted it partially, because we're showing smaller clips and excerpts from the film, we're really hoping to create space for folks, right? To give them highlights and then give opportunity to interact and maybe if they want to watch the longer series and really delve into the topics they can on their own, but really give kind of these highlights and really have that be interactive. So it's a space for people to really sit with it and talk to other people about it and really be open to all points of views and perspectives within this event, because we feel like right now if we're only talking to people with the same values and belief systems that we have, you know, that's not what healing's about. This is about bringing everyone together and trying to wrestle with these very beliefs.
Is the idea of the event that it's healing, or is it also about coming up with ideas and suggestions as to how things could be changed? What are you hoping? What is the more overarching point? Because this is a lot that's happening in one night, mm-hmm.
right.
You know, and this problem's been going on a long time. It won't be solved in one night. So is the main objective just better understanding, changing belief systems, strategizing on local level? Yeah. What are you hoping?
I mean, transformation. Transformation, I think, is something or a word that comes to my mind in thinking about our nation being conceived and this birth of a belief in racial and human hierarchy, and realizing that we can't nix that in one night. It can't just be a one and done thing. But also looking at this event as standing in solidarity with the nation. We'll be coming up on a new election. It'll be the day after King Day, and really calling folks to just kind of be in solidarity with each other. And hoping that it's the spark. It's a new year. And we're really hoping that ourselves as folks who have attended the summit and as a community in Kalamazoo and as a state can really start to organize. So in my eyes, it's definitely kind of a spark or a jumping pad. So we don't necessarily have the blueprint on how we're going to follow up and what that's going to look like. But it's definitely my hope that this will be a spark.
And I would think by having a National Day of Healing, what it does is it kind of puts it out there every year and says that this is a priority.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And, you know, of course, like you said, Kellogg is a very large foundation, has a huge reach. And so being in kind of collaboration, it felt like we're in collaboration with 130 different organizations that actually put together the recommendations, and then a plethora more who are intending on implementing those recommendations. So we really feel connected to this larger community, and hoping that our whole community can. I'm really hoping that people, I guess the goal is just to get people, like Jacob said, a spark to get them started, but also to kind of begin a dialogue, right? Begin a dialogue and get people engaged and starting to think about issues. I know that there's a lot of people who in the last, let's say, year or two, their consciousness has been raised a lot around these issues. And the way that the issues have come to the forefront of a lot of people's minds in a way that I don't think it was before, you know, really before, I think it really started, the Trayvon Martin case was big, right? And then you had everything that went down in Ferguson, and now with the election, it's just, I think a lot of people who weren't engaged in these topics and issues are more curious or just seeing things from a different way right now, and maybe torn about how to feel about these things. And we're really hoping to just start a conversation and build relationships. First and foremost, I think relationships are really important. And the circle process, the healing circle piece, is about relationships, essentially. And so we really hope to just get people engaged. And we will have some that partners are putting on quite a few different events and have different ways to engage.
You mean apart from this?
Apart, yeah.
Or just in general,
after, in general, as a follow-up, so there'll actually be healing circles and healing spaces, not on this day, but in the coming weeks and months, there'll be opportunities to really go deeper for folks who want to do that. But this is really about, okay, let's introduce the idea, right? Let's introduce the idea and get people engaged in it.
I'm wondering, the Kalamazoo Community Foundation as a convener, a lead convener of this, how is this process maybe even changing or sparking some things that it might be doing in the future or now?
Well, I think that this, when we got the information from Kellogg, it really aligns with the kind of current priorities of the Community Foundation around equity. And so it really is... it really did align. It really was something that we could easily say, oh, we already have partners that are interested in, that we have relationships with. And so it really will, I think it can potentially shape some kind of initiatives, but I really think that it was really in great alignment with what we're already doing. And so we're really looking to, I think, shape along with partners too. So really having the people who are doing the on the ground kind of racial justice work, really, and the people in the kind of different sectors who are interested in this topic, really come together and have it be a collaborative effort, so that it's not just about any one institution, but it really is about the work in our community.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we talk about racial healing, I think for some people that word healing can be kind of like, what does that really mean? And I want us to, again, think about transformation and really question and brainstorm what does our society, what do our local communities, what does our nation look like when we get past this idea that there's a racial hierarchy? What do our communities, what does our society look like when institutional and systemic racism are done and over with? And how can we really get to the nitty-gritty work? And like Lana said, that's building relationships and building relationships with folks who we might not on an everyday basis. But really looking at transformation, transforming our societies and looking past this idea of race and racism in America.
Mm-hmm. And I think also transforming ourselves as individuals. I mean, everybody, people of color, you know, white people, everybody who is, you know, grew up in this country has been exposed to these ideas of a racial hierarchy. So nobody's exempt from the impact of that, whether we realize it or not. It's something that it's built in every aspect of our society. So it's something that we take for granted that we don't even realize sometimes. And I think that's really what the healing is about, right? That personal piece of the healing to really reconcile maybe some things that we bury because they don't make sense, that cognitive dissonance or some, you know, questions that we have about something we saw or how that doesn't add up to our experience. So around race and racism. So I think the personal piece of healing is really about interrogating the belief systems that we might hold we don't even realize.
We've been joined today by Lana Lewis, a community investment manager, which is the grant-making arm of the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, and Jacob Penny Johnson, who is with the Society for History and Racial Equity, as well as Erase. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.